speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
In the city of New York tomorrow, there will be an innocent child who will lie in a casket where the room is filled with flowers and loved ones, and these loved ones will, their eyes be filled with tears. In the same city, the body of another child, equally innocent, will be placed in a plastic bag and carried to an incinerator to be burned. What's the difference? The first child was the victim of a disease that afflicts mankind that was not able to be cured. The second innocent child was the victim of a surgeon's instruments and a mother who did not wish to be inconvenienced by carrying her child full term. The second child is the victim of abortion. Good people, where are we as a nation? In the United States, we were built upon godly principles. You can look back through the history of this country and see that those who were responsible for the establishment of where we are as a nation, or where we should be as a nation, that these individuals believed in God. If you look to the Constitution, you will find is that the words of the Constitution, they are laced with God and godly principles. If you look to the ways in which our legal systems, not only on a national but also upon local and state levels, these things that were defining of us, they had God placed within them, but yet today we no longer find this. Why? Because liberal politicians have ungodly agendas. They have sought to take God out of school, and good people, they have done a pretty good job about doing that. They also want to take God out of any and everything that you and I come in contact with, and they challenge you and me as Christians and our faith on a continual basis. And in all of this, good people, they stand adamantly opposed to the things of which you and I would fight for in regard to our belief in God. As we think in regard to where we are as a nation, we find is that abortion was not only legalized from a national standpoint, but we find is that it is legalized in every state of the Union at this given time. And what I'm appalled by is that not only do we find is that it is legal for women to go and to abort their children, their unborn child, but these individuals, our society continues to push for looser and looser legislation in regard to abortion. In regard to the arguments that they oftentimes put forth, they try to tell us that an embryo becomes a fetus only after 9 weeks. And I find it interesting that they use terminology such as embryo and fetus to define the unborn child in the mother's womb, wherein that God identifies the individual in the womb as a baby, as a human life, from the time in which it is in the womb, even then after birth has taken place. Why do I say that? In the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 24 and following, with John the Baptist while he was in the womb, God refers to that child in the womb as a baby. And the same term is used in regard to Jesus while he lie in the manger. And that Greek term that is used for John the Baptist as a baby is the same word is used for Jesus as he is in the manger. What is it that God is trying to tell us? Good people, it's not an embryo or a fetus. It is a child. It is a baby. It is human existence that is living, that is alive in the womb as well as outside of the womb after birth. Also, they present arguments saying that the woman deserves the freedom to be able to choose. They say that it is her body and that she ought to be able to decide for her health's sake what it is that she wants, what is best for her. And I want to ask and to challenge that in regard to her freedom. What gives her the freedom or the right to end the life that is within her? Where is the freedom or the right of that unborn child that she has chosen to go and to develop with another individual? Where is the right or the freedom of that innocent child who is in her womb? Yes, most certainly all of us have freedom and rights, But yet at the same time, the Bible identifies to us that the head of every man is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we do not have the right to make decisions that would be inconsistent or contrary to the decisions that God lays before us. But also, from time to time, whenever it comes to arguments for abortion, they will say that, Kevin, you don't understand. Whenever it comes to rape or incest, that these situations certainly justify the aborting of a child. And I will admit and to say that these situations certainly are not what we would want. It is terrible whenever a woman has to go through rape. And in that, if she conceives, by all means, I realize that there is undue stress that is placed upon her. But that does not give her the right. It does not give her any authorization from our God to abort, to kill, to murder that child. And in instances wherein that incestual relationship has taken place, in like figure, I would say that it is indeed a bad situation. But yet at the same time, two wrongs does not make a right. And the individual who would choose to abort, making that decision to murder, to kill that innocent child, in no way takes away from the thing that has been done in regard to the relationship that brought the child into the world. There's sin certainly there, and that sin needs to be repented of. But yet at the same time, there is no justification at all for that baby to be aborted. As we think in regard to the liberals and the arguments that they pose before us, they want us to believe that abortion is another form of birth control. And I believe that there is most certainly, it is okay for birth control to be used, that is, to prevent pregnancy, to control that situation. But yet at the same time, as we think in regard to abortion, good people, it is in no form, whether we are looking in regard to surgical abortion or if we're looking in regard to medical, to the point to where they would take a morning after pill, it is an abortion. And the Bible would define is that is the taking of an innocent life, not the preventing of life before that life would begin, but rather abortion in any form or fashion would be the ending or the terminating of a life that is there and that is God-given in the womb. Why do women choose to have abortions? I will admit that some will do so due to medical complications. And in that, what I mean is that along the lines of the pregnancy, they will go for examination in the doctor's office or to have ultrasounds done and such, and they will identify is that there are very serious problems going on with the baby or the mother. And as a result of that, then the baby might die in the mother's womb. And as a result then of that complication, they have to take the child. And yet at the same time, I will say that even though that it would be termed as an abortion, I would say that under those circumstances, given the fact of where that a child is that the life is not there, is that that is really and truly not what we are talking about this morning when we talk about abortion. Some, though, when they have an abortion, it's not due to medical complications. We will find is that a mother or even the father might persuade the woman to have an abortion because they do not want their lifestyle disrupted. They maybe are involved in going through school, or maybe they have a career that is very demanding of them, or they're involved in life to the point to where that they do not want to sacrifice. They do not want to have a child to come in and to change things. They are very satisfied with where they are, and that's the case. I want to encourage those individuals who would consider such in regard to having their lifestyle disrupted is that they needed to think about that long before they involve themselves in a relationship that would possibly bring a child into the picture. Good people, under no circumstance does God justify any of this situation where that an individual has a lifestyle that they do not want to be disrupted. Some desire to choose the gender of their children. They want to be able to choose whether or not they have a boy or a girl. And in that, the Bible identifies to us is that children are a blessing from the Lord. God blesses us with the ability to be able to have children. And God wants us to love the child, whether we want a boy or a girl. And in that, to be satisfied with whatever sex that God blesses us with in regard to our children. Those individuals who want to be able to control the gender of their children, I believe that they're selfish and they're acting in childish ways. And they do not certainly have a respect and a trust in our God. But also some, I believe whenever we look in regard to abortion, some simply want to be able to cover their sinful behaviors. You might have a spouse that is unfaithful to their wife or to their husband, and as a result of this unfaithfulness, they've caused a life to come into this world. And that individual might talk to the wife, or excuse me, talk to the woman involved and convince that individual to have an abortion because they don't want their spouse to find out. Or sometimes we will find whenever it comes to younger children, whenever it comes to young people, they will involve themselves in fornication, sex outside of the marriage relationship, oftentimes even as teenagers. And as a result of that, they will become pregnant. And they don't want their moms and dads to find out, or sometimes mom and dad will find out and they don't want society to find out. And they will take them and have them to abort that child. And good people, we need to understand that other sin that these individuals will commit in aborting that child will in no way cover the sin that they have committed in bringing that child about in the beginning. Sin is sin in the sight of God. From a science standpoint, we need to understand that at the point of conception, the genetic makeup of the child is complete. There are 46 chromosomes that are present in and at the point of conception. 23 from the male and 23 also from the female. And at what time do we find those 46 present? It's not later in the term of the pregnancy, but rather we find at the very point of conception. But also, the unborn baby functions as a human being inside the womb. Only after a few days are they able to detect the heartbeat. Throughout the process of the development that takes place within the womb, we find is that the fingers grow and the feet and the toes and the fingernails and the toenails all grow. And also, though we understand from a scientific point of view, is that life progressively forms in the mother's womb. We have the development of the organs, and those organs then, as they grow, they also learn to function within the womb for life that will take place even outside of the womb, that will enhance their life, that will enable them to live a productive life outside of the womb of which God has designed. Abortion, good people, from a scientific standpoint, proves to be an extremely painful procedure for all who are involved. Today, I contend that it is painful above all to the unborn child. And yet at the same time, those who are pro-abortion, those individuals who are abortion advocates, they will tell us that the child doesn't really feel anything. Some will argue is that it's not a life, and therefore, because it's not a life, that there's no feeling there. But yet at the same time, there are individuals who will be honest enough to say that, yes, there is a life there, but yet at the same time, they will say that they have injections that they will give to that child in the womb, that whenever it is aborted, they do not feel anything. And good people, that within itself is telling, isn't it? If they have to give some sort of a shot so that the unborn, the baby, will not feel the pain, that within itself makes me sick. To think that they would recognize that, but still at the same time they would not appreciate the life that is there and to honor what it is that our God says. I believe that that baby experiences pain whenever abortion takes place, but it's not only the child that experiences that pain, even the mothers. Studies have shown, statistics reveal, is that mothers who go through abortion oftentimes deal with deep-seated depression. and also oftentimes lead even to the point of suicide, because they regret, if not immediately, years down the road, for what it is that they have done. I have spoken with ladies from time to time of whom I've counseled with, that have aborted children at a young age. They themselves were young. And they have grown and they've even become members of the church and repented of those sins and now living a life that is committed to God. And these women still deal with the issues, deal with the emotional issues that is centered in and around the abortion that took place years ago. And they realize the seriousness and the significance of not only what they did to that life, but also the way in which our God looks to that precious soul. The Scripture identifies to us as that our Heavenly Father is the giver of life. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, man and woman alike is created after the very image of God. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 says that God breathed into man's nostrils a breath of life and he became a living being or a living soul. A living human being is what's under consideration there. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, God is responsible for the giving of all forms of life. And good people, when we think in regard to this, why is it that a woman is able to conceive? How does conception take place? The Bible tells us that God opens the womb in order for conception to come about. Take into consideration the book of Ruth chapter 4 and verse 13. The Bible tells us that the Lord opened the womb of Ruth, giving her conception as she and Boaz, her husband, came together. And God identifies time and again is that He is indeed working providentially according to the laws of nature, according to the reproductive system that He has put into order with the male and the female. And in the context of the way in which God wants this relationship to come about with bringing another life into existence, the baby, through a husband and wife, God wants to bring conception and also to bring that life. And God identifies through His Word that human life begins at the very point of conception. Again, within the womb. With John, the Bible identifies as that there was a child there. When? Whenever his mother conceived. And that child, or that which was in the womb, was identified as a baby from that point forward. Take into consideration our Lord also, even though we find is that it was through miraculous conception. From the time in which Mary conceived, it is at that point is that that child, Jesus Christ our Lord, is presented in the Scripture as a child, as a living human being, but also the Creator is responsible for the development that continues to take place within the womb. Psalm 139, verses 13 and following, David identifies in regard to how it is that he was able to come about with life here in this world. And he's given a picture. He's given identification. He's given understanding from God that as he was in the womb, is that it just didn't happen. It's not something that came about by luck. It's not something that just came about simply because of human existence, but rather because of divine involvement. Is that it was God who formed David while he was in the womb. That word form means to take and to maneuver, to manipulate. It means to take something that is there. And what was there? A life, a human being. And within that also a soul. And David identifies concerning the human existence that he was in the mother's womb is that God had His hands involved in forming, reshaping, manipulating, making it fit for delivery and life outside of the womb. The life of which you and I are able to experience and to enjoy while we are here in this world. The Bible also condemns the action of abortion and the shedding of innocent blood. Good people, this morning as I stand before you, I say that our society needs to repent. It's time for America to wake up. And not only for America, it's time for the world to wake up and to see the craziness of where we are. We have individuals who will stand for rights of animals and say that it's not right for us to kill animals. And we will have situations where an animal, a female animal, will be carrying another animal within itself, being pregnant, and that animal will get killed. And these animal rights activists, they will fight until the end, saying that was unjust. When it comes to the child that is within the mother's womb, where's the fight? Where's the compassion? Where's the vigor to stand and to do what is right? I find it interesting also is that many of our attorneys, liberal ones, they will stand and they will fight and to say that the woman has the right to abort and that there's no life in the womb at the point of which they want to abort. And they will fight and they will fight until she's able to abort. And then we will find is that another woman is pregnant in the same time frame as far as the pregnancy goes, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 weeks out. She'll be going down the road, be hit by a car. She may or may not lose her life. The child dies that is in the womb. And those same attorneys will fight her case and say that the child died. Where's the consistency? It's crazy where we are as a society. And it's time for us to wake up and to go back to where God wants us to be and to not go according to the schools of thought of the liberals in this world, but rather to go back and to identify is that this is indeed a life and that life deserves as much a chance as what you and I have. But also, we need to understand is that God will punish those who take innocent life. He says that under the old covenant law. But good people, He also puts forth the same understanding and the same condemnation in the New Testament. God will judge and God will punish these individuals who take that life, who murder these innocent children with eternal condemnation, separated from Him in the devil's hell. But also, civil leaders need to understand that a day will come, while today they may play God, a day will come when they will really and truly stand before our God, before the Creator of all of mankind. And in that day, these men and these women, these liberal legislators who not only legislate and legalize abortion, but also who have other liberal agendas that they're pushing before us, these individuals will stand before the presence of our God and our Creator for their ungodly acts. And unless they are forgiven in Christ, having their sins washed away in baptism, and having redirected their life, and I believe even spoken out against these things, they will be eternally lost in that day. Friends, also, I want to challenge each and every one of us that anyone and everyone who would bid these individuals Godspeed in their agendas will be just as guilty as they are, those legislators, whenever we stand before God in the day of judgment. He who bids them Godspeed is a partaker of their evil deeds. And that's in the context, I realize, in 2 John verses 9 through 11, of anything that is in violation of the doctrine of Christ. And abortion certainly is in violation of the doctrine of Christ. And to be one who would be on board with abortion, with the termination of that child's life in the womb, would be to bid them Godspeed. And God will judge our actions. He will judge the entirety of our life whenever we stand before Him in judgment. As Christians, we must never fall to this wicked sin. If you are here today within the sound of my voice, and there would come a time, kids, and I want to encourage you, do not get involved in a sexual relationship until you are married. Because that's where God authorizes it. That's what God says is right. But in a case where an individual would have a relationship outside of marriage and it would result in becoming pregnant, do not abort that child. Abortion will not make it right. It's another sin added to the sin that you've already committed. And somebody says, well, Kevin, what if I don't want the child? Maybe the family, maybe your family will raise that child. And if the family won't, adoption is always an option. And adoption is the only option whenever it comes to this, if it comes between that and abortion. There are families out there who will take a child who cannot have a child of their own, who biologically cannot bring a child into this world. They want so much to be able to have a child to raise. And if you're in that situation, don't abort. Offer that child to someone who will raise them and love them and provide them and protect them throughout life. We must never allow ourselves to fall to this wicked sin. But brothers and sisters in Christ, also I believe that you and I need to be a mouthpiece. Not have the ability to speak for themselves in the womb. And today, you and I must stand always preaching and proclaiming the truth and the truth of the matter when it comes to God's Word as it deals with abortion, to make certain that we proclaim this continually amongst our nation each and every day, that we're speaking out for the innocent. But also, moms and dads, let's educate our homes about this vital issue. Sit down with your children and explain, number one, what it is that God expects in regard to the relationship, the husband and wife, and the way in which He wants us to bring children into this world. But also explain to them concerning what it is that I've said today, is that two sins will not make something right. We've got to get this message out to our children, but also to help them understand is that they need to grow to be a mouthpiece and to stand always upon the godly principles that Christians are going to be held accountable for in the day of judgment. And brethren, today as I stand before you, I encourage each and every one of us, every time that we have an opportunity to vote, we must vote in a Christ-like manner whenever it comes to election days. We have an election coming up here in just a few days. And I don't know all that's on the ballot. But one thing I do know is on yes on vote one. And voting yes on vote one will not do away with abortion. I wish that were the case. I wish that there was some way that we could take this completely out of the spectrum of being legal. Yet at the same time, that's not the legislation that's before us. That's not the opportunity. But voting yes on one will allow us to be able to present information, my understanding, so that these individuals who are considering abortion will be greater informed in regard to what it is that they're getting ready to do. And therefore, hopefully, as a result of that information being made available to them, then hopefully that they will choose life for that unborn child versus choosing to abort, to murder that child. Today, I want to encourage you to vote in a Christ-like manner whenever it comes to this upcoming election and always. Why? Because God wants us to understand that our relationship to Him is above any relationship that we have here in this world. The relationship that we have to our God commits us to do those things that are godly, even amongst an ungodly world who strives to encourage us to live like the rest of the Gentile nation. Friends, if you're here this morning, you're outside of the body of Christ, we want to encourage you to become a Christian. We want to encourage you to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, to submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, that you might then be raised to walk in newness of life. If you're here today and subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you with His call.